The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Writing Excuses has been brought to you by our listeners, patrons, and friends. If you would like to learn how to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/writingexcuses.
Season 17,
Episode 47. This is Writing Excuses, the linguistics of disability.
15 minutes long.
Because you're in a hurry.
And we're not that smart.
I'm Mary Robinette.
I'm Chelsea.
I'm Fran.
And I'm Howard.
And today we're going to be talking about how to talk about disability. There's a couple of different models out there in the world. We've got another essay for you to read as a supplement to this, which is also the Linguistics of Disability, or Empathy and Sympathy, that Fran has written. I highly recommend that you listen to that as a supplement to this episode. But let's first talk about the idea of a medical model versus a social model when talking about disability. So medical model means that when you're talking about the disability, that the disability is something to be fixed. It is an illness. It is something that needs to be repaired or corrected. And this comes from the medical community. The social model of disability holds that the problem is actually the way society is structured, that society itself is what disables people. For instance, someone who is a chair user, totally fine on flat surfaces, but if you have something that has a ton of stairs, the stairs are the problem. It's not the chair, because there's definitely ways to navigate without that, without stairs. So the idea is that that you have two different ways to do that. And one of them basically says, this person is less than human and needs to be made human. And the other says, this person is totally human, but maybe we should build our buildings another way. Does anyone want to talk about some ways that reflects in the fiction that we see or that we write, some failure modes that we can sometimes run across in fiction?
To tie this to the previous episodes, especially the body horror episode, the problem that needs to be fixed, the thing that is too scary to be embodied except in horror, is kind of what the extreme end of what we're talking about. and what we were talking about. And when we were asking in the previous episode for people to shift perspective and think about what it's like to be inside and still have agency and still have choices, we're talking about shifting it to a more social model of horror, actually.
I think in terms of linguistics, the when we wrote the second edition of Extreme Dungeon Mastery, we talked about ways to include everybody at the table. And sometimes, you know, coming back to the word chair, sometimes the chairs at the table are not one size fit all. Somebody needs a special chair. And we did a little role play in the book where someone says, hey, that chair doesn't work for me. I'm sorry to be a problem. And the host says, ooh, you're not the problem. The chair is the problem. We can fix the chair. We don't need to fix you. And I come back to that all the time. When someone apologizes, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not good at stairs. Oh, I'm sorry, I need to stop and take a breath. I'm sorry, you're not the problem. The problem is this context that we've created that renders you unable to participate at the level that the rest of us are participating. So let's, as a group, try and change that. And I'm circling back to that, not because it's a fiction, but because in my own head, by making that change in the way that I talk, in the way that I write about myself, I am positioning myself, hopefully, fingers crossed, to write better about it when I put it in my fiction.
There's a great TikTok that I recently saw by Jeremy Andrew Davis, which we're going to link to in the liner notes. And he explains it by saying, you know, when Superman comes here, he has a different set of abilities than humans do. He has super abilities. But if you imagine that, if you flip things and adjust canon a little bit, and humans have to go to Krypton, and everyone on Krypton has Superman levels of ability, then you have things like people are, you know, the able to stop a locomotive. So you go to try to pull a door open, and as a human, you can't pull the door open because it's designed for someone who can move something with 1,000 pounds of force. Leap over buildings with a single bound. There are no stairs because everybody just jumps up. And they're like, well, why don't you just jump up? What do you mean you were late to this meeting? And that's the kind of thing that you're thinking about with the social model, is that you know, the person's normal is their normal. And they are trying to exist in a world that is designed for someone else's normal.
I think absolutely that, and stemming from that, that existing in the world where that is normal, there's a really great essay up at the CIFWA website where Valerie Valdez talks about why writing in second person is important for marginalized people. And this is particularly true for disability narratives, and including my own. When I wrote Clearly Lettered in a Mostly Steady Hand, it's narrated by a very angry Fiji mermaid in the middle of a cabinet of curiosities. But she's narrating for the audience an experience where second person's invoked, and the reader loses agency over time. And that experience of that particular use of second person and loss of agency is something that I wanted to invoke as sort of an empathetic reaction to what it feels like to be disabled in certain ways. And that was sort of shifting gears a little bit on people. And it made a lot of people, including a couple of reviewers, really uncomfortable. And I kind of am okay with that. I'm actually very okay with that, in part because that's the difference between empathy and sympathy. Sympathy is something that I'm doing, you know, to make myself feel better a little bit. And empathy is something that is much more about the person's experience that is having the experience.
Empathy is inherently uncomfortable. Yes. I hate it a lot. When the people around me hurt, I hurt too.
Yes.
What a stupid sense. I don't want it.
But you do. You do want it.
I know I do want it.
What do you mean? Why do we want empathy, Chelsea?
We want empathy so that we know. Like, I rely on my sense of empathy to understand, you know, okay, everybody's really happy. I feel their happiness too, and that, you know, everything is good. But there's also like bored and frustrated, and I feel that too. And so that's like a cue. It's like, what do you need?
Yep.
At this point? It's like, I get that you're feeling really frustrated here. How can I help you? If you don't have that, then you just continue to sail on with, you know, your whatever, and then you're a jerk.
A world with no empathy would be like driving at night and nobody's cars have headlights or taillights.
Yeah.
And if you do proceed without empathy, if you proceed with something else, that's when you find, you know, if your character has no empathy, but they want to express some sort of concern or connection with a person who is going through a thing, you know, that's when things like, I think you're such an inspiration, or you must be so strong, start to come out of people's mouths. And that, Chelsea, what you said about, you know, how are you feeling about this? What can I do to help you? It puts that agency back in the hands of the person who needs it, rather than sort of getting the kudos, gold star stickers for being, you know, someone who's forcing an opinion on the person who doesn't need the opinion.
Well, it's something that you said in your essay, Fran, when you were talking about the, you know, you must be so strong, is that it's a distancing thing.
Yep.
And I had not thought about it in that way, but that it is about when you're approaching things from that angle, it is about reframing them in a way that you are comfortable engaging with them, rather than the ways in which the person needs you to engage. And that empathy is much more about listening. I was like, that's such a good, simple frame for like evaluating my own choices about things that I say in response to people.
Hey, writers, are you thinking about learning a new language? I think exploring the world, experiencing other cultures, and being able to communicate with people outside your everyday experience lets you create richer, better stories. A great way to do that is with Rosetta Stone, a trusted expert for over 30 years with millions of users in 25 languages offered. They use an immersive technique which leads to fast language acquisition. It's an intuitive process that helps you really learn to speak, listen, and most of all, think in the language you're trying to learn. They also feature true accent speech recognition technology that gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's like having a voice coach in your home. Learn at home or on the go with a desktop and mobile app that let you download and access lessons even when you're offline. And it's an amazing value. A lifetime membership gives you access to all 25 languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, and, of course, Korean. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Writing Excuses listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Making your mental health a priority is always a challenge. And I think it's easy to not prioritize it, especially when you're trying to figure out how to write a book. I think we have some deep cultural idea that artists should be tortured and depressed to make their best work. But in my experience, struggling to find clarity and motivation will hurt your process a lot more than help it. In my own life, therapy has been essential to figuring out how to navigate an industry seemingly designed to give all of us anxiety. Being able to talk to an expert can help you set better boundaries, find a balance between the demands of your work and your art, and navigate the complexities of being a published writer. That said, finding a therapist is never easy, especially if you're not in a major city like I am. That's where a service like BetterHelp can be of use to help you start the process while you figure out what your needs are for your mental health journey. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/WX today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/WX.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Shall we take a moment to pause for the book of the week? And then, Chelsea, I want to see what it was that you clearly had a thought, and I want to see what that was when we come back. So our book of the week is Being Seen by Elsa Schunesson. And this book, Elsa is a deafblind activist. This is a memoir series of essays. And she fences. She writes. She does all of these things that you would think in a book you'd be like, oh, really? But this is her real life. And this book has been, it just recently won a major award in Washington State. It was nominated for Hugo. It's been up for major awards all over the place. And she just had a short documentary about her life and covers some of the ground that is in this book. It is wonderful, highly recommended, Being Seen by Elsa Schunesson. All right, so coming back, Chelsea, what's on your mind there?
Well, I just, the wheels are kind of turning, right? Because I'm always thinking about the social model of disability because a lot of the times, like, our physical spaces and environments are not designed for everyone. And it bothers me because before I moved in here, I lived in a building that was like accessible. All public areas were designed with accessibility in mind. And this was the point that really drilled it home to me. Accessible spaces are accessible to everyone. They make using this space easier for everyone. So why don't we do it? Why do we not do it? And so I'm always thinking about this now. I'm always thinking about this when I'm doing world building and design. I'm like very deliberately thinking about like how good is the design of this environment? And when I say good, I mean how many people can just use it without thinking about it or having to do anything special.
The reason we don't do it is that the people doing the design don't have needs that stray very far from what they perceive the baseline to be. It's the what was the show? The IT Crowd or something, where all the motion detectors that keep the lights on won't detect people with brown skin. And so you had to have a white person walk into the room periodically to keep your lights on. Why? No. Because we're not testing these things with the full range of people who are going to be using them, because the designers are not comprised of a demographic that fits who's using it.
Well, and the other thing that we talk about is like, people, one of the things that happens is that people will design for the people that they see around them. And if you are designing spaces that people cannot access, then of course you are not going to see examples. It's like, well, you know, but how often do we really get people who have problems with stairs coming here? It's like, well, you would get that more often if you didn't have stairs.
They stopped coming.
The answer to the question is built right in. One of my more local examples, the apartment that I live in is directly in front of a separated bike lane. It's one lane of traffic wide. They took an entire lane out of the road and turned it into a bike lane. And it's two-way. And it's optional. And there are like clear directions as to how you cross intersections when you're using the bike lane. Notice that I don't say when you're a cyclist, because what happened was when the Downtown Cycle Network started introducing these things so that you get across downtown using these safe bike lanes, all of a sudden wheelchair users and motorized scooter users came out of the woodwork. There is always somebody on the roll in the bike lane, and it's so great.
Yeah, I saw
because
that.
Because sidewalks suck.
Sidewalks suck.
Yeah. So that
when we threw a pandemic and the whole world came and we started doing conventions and meetups and things remotely via Zoom, we met people we had never seen before. People who have always been with us, but have never been with us because they couldn't attend in person, because they couldn't commute. They couldn't, for whatever reason, they couldn't get there before, but now that they can get there with a camera and a microphone, they're part of the community again. And boy, howdy, if we learn nothing else from the pandemic except that, I will count myself happy, because that's so important to us as a society.
But did we learn it? Did we learn it really?
No,
because I want to think we, some of us did.
The pandemic is over and we're not like, we're doing in-person events. And I mean, me personally, I'm so glad to see people's faces. I'm so glad to be in their physical spaces. But I kind of also wish that I had like, kind of like an iPad strapped to my chest so that I could bring somebody who couldn't come physically with me.
Yeah. And this is having been doing some con running during this year, the big barrier to that is actually the internet, because and specifically the amount of money hotels want to charge for Wi-Fi. To do just as an example, the Discon 3, we had to spend $40,000 just on internet, which a smaller con can't do. And so, you know, all of these things are complicated, but most of them are complicated because someone has decided this is a way that they can make money.
Mm-hmm.
And also that it is a problem that doesn't apply to them. So let me wrap us up with a science fictional example that is also a real world example. When the astronaut program started, astronauts had to have 20/20 vision because all of the requirements were based on being a test pilot. Then a funny thing happened. In the 2000s, when we started doing long duration missions, astronauts' eyes changed on orbit and they started to require glasses. They no longer had 20/20 vision. And also the astronaut corps started to age and become middle-aged and people in their 50s, and they suddenly needed bifocals. And they changed the requirements to become an astronaut, because it turns out that you don't need 20/20 vision to function in space. But really what it turns out is that the people who were making the decisions suddenly had the thing that they had considered previously to be a disability. So when you are thinking about your own fiction, you need to be thinking about it from a couple of different places. As we've talked, you're thinking about it from an empathy point of view, you're thinking about it from the social model point of view, and that brings us around to our homework. Chelsea, I think you have the homework for us, right?
I do. Now, if you go all the way back to episode 2, we had the homework that was write a scene with two characters, one with a disability and one without, and write it from each character's POV, paying particular attention to the setting. What I want you to do is I want you to write as an insider versus writing as an outsider, or writing a medical model approach to the setting versus writing a social model setting. Take that setting and the person with the disability and the person without the disability and write those spaces again and see what happens when the world building shift changes.
I love that assignment so much.
Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. This has been Writing Excuses. You are out of excuses. Now go write. For this episode of Writing Excuses, your hosts were Mary Robinette Kowal, C.L. Polk, Fran Wild, and Howard Taylor. This episode was engineered by Daniel Thompson and mastered by Alex Jackson.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.